Luke chapter 5, verse 15. But so much the more went there fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear, to be healed by him of their infirmities. Somehow, on the verse 15, so much the more. That's all we're still there. And because this so much the more means to a much, much greater degree. And we started looking at stuff, and then I was rudely interrupted by somebody. So we're continuing that. 2 Corinthians 3:9. Who was it that interrupted? That sent me on a rant. Was that you, Jeff?
Probably yourself.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Why am I in chapter 9? You don't think I was provoked? All right. Let's just start in verse 1. Do we begin to commend ourselves, our own selves? No, do we? I can't. My Bible is. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in the hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. This was really, 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 really important to me. And the person that was this to me, the epistle written in the heart, was J.W. Lumen. I had the revelation of Christ and studied for a while and was shocked at what I saw, and then I met J.W. Lumen. He was a patient of Dr. Winslow's also. And it was like there was instant fellowship, instant brotherhood, instant. And then I heard him teach. And it just confirmed everything that I had seen in conversion. And it was like, it was one of the greatest joys of my life to know that someone else saw. And he, but he's real religious, so he, I make fun of him all the time about that. But anyway, but this is why this is important. You can't really read this. You can't, it needs to be seen by someone or spoken by someone who lives it. And that's, does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's one of our members, while he was living in a multi-million dollar high-rise, tried to have a Bible study. And it didn't work because he saw the mystery, but he wasn't living it from the standpoint of, well, of several reasons. But anyway, that's enough of that. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the manifestation of death written and engraven in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And that word much more is this much, much, much more, melon, exceedingly more. All right? Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 1. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and in confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment. So again, it's this idea that the prayer is that your knowledge may abound and abound and abound in the knowledge. And in all judgment or discernment is what that means. Not judging down, but discernment. All right, one more. 2 Peter, chapter 1. It's after Hebrews, after James. And that's, it's after 1 Peter, actually. All these Bible scholars. What? You're quick? Is that what you said?
I said for me, not quite.
Oh. And again, this is the same kind of thing. It's starting in verse 5. Well, let's start before that. Let's just start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. You remember, in all the epistles, it's first grace and then peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You understand that? You first have to experience his grace. It's unmerited favor, nothing you ask for. It's just this massive grace that's been poured out upon you if you empty yourself. And then comes the peace. So it's always grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And by the way, multiplied, I think, is the same word, but I didn't check that. Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And the knowledge there is the word epignosis, which means that it's been mixed with you. The word has been made flesh in you. So there's no differentiation between your inner and your outer. There's no, and you're not trying to be anymore, you just be. So epic, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's nothing of us that is in it. Now, godliness, you remember, is it just means it's a word that just means correct thinking. So that your speech and your thought process is seasoned with a component of eternity. There's no more giving breath to anything that is time dependent. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped the corruption because you died. Now he lives. You no more keep giving the evil one life. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now he's not, the scripture in Greek doesn't say that this is something that you do, it's something that's progressive. So that in Revelation, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Now, temperance means that you're not under the control of anything. Nothing, no part of your mind, no part of your physicality is all under control because it's Him. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, brotherly love, or agape, which is charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, the epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, for he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail, or never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this thing about making your calling and election sure, that's this word malon. It becomes more and more and more and more, so that doubt goes out the window forever. Doubt about the revelation of Christ. All right? Anybody have any thoughts about this? It's believe it or not, There exists within you, and it's your heritage, not to forget this when you walk out the door. That you live it 24 hours a day, and it's not difficult. It just costs you your life. Well, if once you've seen through the mystery, then that becomes as easy as breathing.
That's something to hold on to. Hold on to.
Well, you remember what I've told you. The moment you think you're right about something, you've fallen from the strong city, Tom. And the reason that's so critical in you is because the illusion of being right is your identity. So your worth comes from being right, rather than from the blood of Christ. And that's not just applied to you, but you're like the biggest example for us, even if you're not here.
That's to be a good example.
Is that clear though?
It didn't change anything.
No, I didn't ask you to change. I asked you to repent from wanting to be right, or needing to be right.
See.
Okay, let's continue in sin that grace may abound. What?
He's harassing me. He has to give me back what he can.
What did you say?
I said, I still love
him. Hmm?
I did not.
What did you say?
So I or we?
You said we. Okay. Speaking for the group, ex-cathedra, right? Okay, we got it.
Okay, I.
All right, let's go back to Luke. I'm tired of this. Okay, verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. this word, fame abroad of him, it's literally, it says logos. It's a word. It just says, and the word logos walked about. It doesn't. The word fame there is logos. It means the logos walked about. I mean, it was, anyway, so it was it walked about in Paul and Luke and then in the people that and his disciples, so and then it walked about in others, and pretty soon it was walking about all over the world. But I love that. The word walked about. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. Now, since Paul is a physician, when he says to be healed, he uses the word therapeiou, and it means a physician to attend upon. So, anyway, it doesn't mean they were all healed. It means that the physician attended to them, the great physician. Infirmities isn't sicknesses. It's weak. It can be, but it's normally just weakness, feeble, lack of understanding. I pray that the word that the Lord will heal the lack of understanding in this community. So the understanding isn't just in a time point. It's in a 24-hour-a-day point. All right. Infirmities is asthenia. And it's the negative of the word for strength. Strength is stenos. So infirmity is asthenos. But it's the understanding becomes, if you're weak in understanding, it's evil. If you're weak in your ability to do stuff, it's wonderful. Now let's see if we can understand that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12 first. This is talking about Paul now. That's what I said. Let's start in verse 5. Well, let's start in verse 1. Because it's all connected. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in body, I cannot tell, or whether out of body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven.
Body means the community, or body means your physical?
His physical body. How he's talking about himself here. You realize that? how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now that's a bad translation. There are no words to describe eternity. You can only describe it by saying it is timeless. And so it's not possible to describe with any kind of clarity what the actual experience in eternity or the third heaven is. It is, you know, you can say it has, there's love and peace and all that, but there are no words to describe spirit. And that's why most of what Jesus said was in parables. You understand that? And again, we are constructed so there are no words to describe spirit, so that no flesh can glory in his presence. Is that clear?
Yeah. When the Tower of Babel thing, or prior to the Tower of Babel, whatever they used for language made a lot more sense than what we use now for language. Is that not the case? Because they might have accomplished anything.
Well, I think that that's a good point. There's two of those kinds of issues. The first one, let's look at that. That's a good thing to look at. And we're not going to get any farther, so. First, go to Genesis 3. Paul, this is something that for Pete needs two Bibles.
I need two Bibles because I'm missing up to Genesis 4 or something. For other Bible, my personal Bible.
Verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Now, it says, now lest they become as one of us and know good and evil. Look at what had happened then. The sentence isn't completed. The idea would be is so terrible that they couldn't even complete the sentence. So man was expelled from the garden. Now when people say, the garden's over there, no, it's not. But that's another story. Now, so that's the first thing that happened, like that in the same genre as what the question. Now let's go to the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, I think. No, 12. Verse 6. Well, let's read the first few verses. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
What chapter again?
Chapter 11, I'm sorry. Okay. The whole world was of one language. It's had the same language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and the slime for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach out unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what before the fall, the earth was covered in clouds, so that the temperate regions were the whole earth, and the never rained. The mist covered, watered everything. It was like being in a spa or in a. You understand what I'm talking about? Anyway.
That was up to the flood, right?
Hmm?
Up to the time of the flood?
Yeah. Now, the flood happened in Genesis 9 and 10. Okay. Now in verse 11, it was many years later, who knows whether it was the whole earth. I don't think the whole earth flooded, but I think that the whole Middle Eastern part flooded. They couldn't. They were frightened because it might happen again. The flood might happen again, and so they had to have some way. And remember, they had the idea of the stars, and so this tower was supposed to have the star map that we were studying on top of the tower. And so that it was possible for them to always know what was going to happen in terms of their own understanding. You know, they'd already fallen from the mystery. And so the reason for the tower and the reason they were all of one language and one speech is because it was another test to see what would happen by God. And so what happened? And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they shall have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Again, another situation from God's standpoint which couldn't be permissible. Now, the ancients say that one language was Hebrew. And there's a little bit of evidence that it may have been in terms of the roots of a lot of words in the Middle East. But nothing will be restrained from them to do which they imagine. And this couldn't happen from God's standpoint, just as it couldn't happen from God's standpoint for man to have eaten both to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, because again, according to what I teach, that it happened in the first in the age of Lucifer, and everything was destroyed. All right, so they had to be again of one language and one speech. Nothing that they imagine will be withholden from them. Now, why didn't he want that? Anybody? Nothing that will be imagined will be withholden from them to do. Now, what's that about? It would be impossible for them to come to repentance. That's what it's about. It would be impossible for there to be the status of people for whom Jesus Christ preached, the poor. The reason for that, the word poor is paktos, the inability to complete what you conceive. And so if there's nothing withheld because they have one language and one speech, then either it would be impossible for man to come to repentance, or it would take a jillion years for man to come to repentance. Am I communicating?
Yeah, communicating. A corollary is that you might as well just go ahead and call it hell, because there'd be never an end to strife. I mean, you'd always be striving for something, even if you're not fighting somebody. There'd always be something else, some other mountain to climb, some other thing to do.
Well, anyway, this is my... I'm not saying this is what I believe. This is what I've received from these words. I'm not saying it's of the God. Is in other words what I'm saying. Do you understand? I'm not saying this is doctrine. It's just what I believe. All right? What? Nothing? Maybe I didn't clarify it, but that's all right. All right, we'll continue when we meet again. And we don't have Bible study tomorrow because it's both Christmas and Saturday.
And Saturday, yes.
Okay. Take it, big guy.